May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Jesus' baptism begins with, this story begins with, John the Baptist, who we looked at over Christmas. His story was there as well, if you remember, in Zacharias' wife's womb, being born at Christmas too. And it begins with John the Baptist doing the very thing he's come to do. John the Baptist is baptizing people, washing people in this river. He's preparing people for the Messiah's arrival, for God to arrive. And then we read earlier, he's preparing people by preaching repentance, telling people to stop doing their old evil because someone was coming who was going to deal with all that evil. Stop doing that because you're about to change. Somebody's coming who's going to change everything and change you. And this someone who's coming, as we read, it's almost quite violent. Someone's coming who's going to deal with all that evil with fire, by threshing with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot going on this person's going to do to deal with evil. And this someone who's coming is going to be completely pure, but he's going to be angry with evil. That's basically John getting ready for God to show up. So John was baptizing sinners, people who needed cleaning. And in fact, we read, in verse 7 earlier in that chapter, John talks about this like he's helping people fleeing from a divine wrath. These spiritual refugees are coming to John the Baptist to get ready for this person who's coming. It's broken spiritual people who are coming to John the Baptist to be washed, to be cleaned. That is who baptism is for. Broken, filthy, dirty spiritual people. So, why was Jesus baptized? Why was he along with this fleeing crowd? This river bath was for people running from God. So why is God joining in? In the other Gospels, John actually seems offended that this divine, holy judge that everyone is afraid of is getting washed from his own sins. Why is he doing this act? Obviously, he didn't do anything wrong, so why is he doing this washing? Why? Why is he joining in with our repentance? And also, why was God the Father so overjoyed? In fact, God the Father and Spirit, why were they so happy that Jesus was going through this washing of himself? Well, there is a lot of meaning with Jesus' baptism, including the location that it all happens. Why was John baptizing at the River Jordan? And it is because, and as we read, the Jordan River is an ancient reference in the Bible. I think that's like 1500 years ago, or that, well, it could be around that, before Jesus' own time. And that reading we had is probably the biggest event at the Jordan, apart from Jesus' baptism. So in that story, in Joshua, the ancient church is getting ready to cross this river Jordan. They've been wandering in a desert for 40 years, waiting to get this new, fruitful, promised life across the river, to escape all that spiritual refugee, that disaster that they've been in the desert. They're wanting this new life with God. But when the church gets ready, they're about to enter this new land, this new life, the Jordan River is in full flood. So crossing would mean certain death for almost everybody going over. So what are they going to do? They need to get across, but it's impossible. Well, at the beginning of chapter 3, God promises he himself is going to do something amazing about this. What does he do? Well, the Ark of the Lord, which it represents the Lord. Wherever that is, that's where the Lord is. Wherever that is, that's his throne. He sits there. He lives where that Ark of the Covenant is. So, as soon as the Lord is getting ready to cross, and he goes first, as soon as he's about to cross the Jordan, the river stops. All the water stops flowing and piles up far upstream. The church can walk across on dry ground safely. It does seem a great miracle, but God already did something like this, actually, at the beginning, if you remember, that Red Sea, that Exodus moment. But what's so special about this time? Because at that last time, God didn't need to walk into the water himself. So why is it so important that the Lord walks in first? He goes into this death, this Jordan. And remember what we read before in the New Testament. John the Baptist is baptizing in the Jordan because of our sins. He's trying to get us to deal with a problem that we've had ever since the beginning of the Bible. That evil, that sin, we've had since humanity first disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. The very first humans, Adam and Eve, started all the evil in the world. All the death, all the destruction, all the sin comes from Adam. How can a dip in the river cure people from that? Something they're born into, we're all born into, that curse. How can a bath in the Jordan fix so deep an issue in humans? And then back to that Joshua reading. Notice when that story of the Lord crossing over, where did the water stop?
Adam.
Yes, the river all the way stopped at Adam. Why is that important? Where was the river going? Do you remember that? That Araba Sea, or also called the Dead Sea. The river was going to the Dead Sea. So a river from Adam leading to death. That is the problem all humans face. That's the problem, the evil we started and we're all dealing with. Ever since Adam and Eve, we've been overwhelmed by death and destruction. Adam leading to death. All of us. Nobody has beaten death since it first started at Adam. So, now do we see why that crossing was so important? Now do we see why the Lord himself got into this river? The Lord is going to face that curse. That death and destruction that's been coming from Adam ever since he steps in, not only does it stop, not only does it stop with him, it stopped at Adam. All of the human race, it all stops when the Lord gets into the Jordan. Nobody has beaten death, destruction, evil or sin since it started at Adam. But in this story, the Lord does. God is going to face death and win. And because of him, that ancient church was free to cross and enter that new life. So, the act of baptism, just to think on that again. The act of baptism is going under the water and then coming out again. And that's meant to represent death. As we go under the water, it's like those Christians facing that river. It would have meant death under the water. And going under it means we kill off that old self, that old one of us that had all the mistakes, all the guilt. But as we come out of the water, it's like we're risen to a new life, born again. This baptism for all those spiritual refugees coming to John was amazing because they wanted a new life. They wanted rid of their old self, their wandering, and they wanted this promised new life for themselves. And the way to do that was to cross this Jordan, to go through this baptism. So crossing the Jordan and getting baptized mean the same thing, going from death to life, receiving promised life, from spiritually dirty to a meaningful new life. So that is why it seems so strange that Jesus got baptized. Jesus is the source of life, holiness, and purity. Why does Jesus need this redemption, this change, this death? In the story, in Joshua, the ancient church could only cross when the Lord himself was first in the water. It was only safe. Death was only defeated when God dealt with it first. Jesus getting baptized was an amazing thing because he was promising to step into death for us. He was promising to die and make the way to new life clear for us. The way to heaven, the way to God's own family is safe because of what he did. A clean slate is almost impossible for us to get, and it is impossible to get for free, even now. But it isn't impossible if someone else pays for it. Jesus' baptism is shocking because it's God saying he's going to die full of sin. But it's exciting because Jesus has promised that the new life he's going to get, he's going to give us. We're still early into this new year, and maybe we've already made some mistakes that we regret, or maybe we're not this new me we were expecting. And it's because it takes more than some new habits or new commitments or even just a change to the date. It takes more than that to make somebody completely new. There is one last interesting thing about this baptism back in Luke's Gospel. After Jesus is baptized, and the whole Trinity shows up because they love this baptism so much and what it means. They're so excited. After they all show up and the Trinity is there, God is revealed. After this, Luke gives a genealogy. And it links Jesus all the way back to Adam, the human race. Although Luke adds something at the beginning. Do you see it? Jesus was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph up to Adam. Why does he add, so it was thought? It's because Jesus isn't a part of Adam's family tree, that family line. Remember how it says Adam was a son of God? Well, Jesus is too. He was the first one. It's like he's the first human free of Adam's sin, free of that line. It's like he is the second newly made human, fresh, factory reset, but better human. And it's that phrase, if you want something done, do it yourself. So God did. He wanted a new humanity. So he became this new, fresh, clean slate human. And here's the second amazing thing about Jesus' baptism, and then we can close. This amazing moment where he's dying to himself and he's getting this new life and his parents, his God family's there to help him in this baptism just as we do when a child gets baptized. The whole family's there. It was the same for Jesus. What's so amazing is that amazing special moment he shares with sinners. Jesus gets baptized not with priests or with scriptural experts. Jesus gets this new life alongside the most broken humans around. All those spiritual refugees, Jesus is one of them, crossing the Jordan with them, making it safe for the worst, the broken of all of us. So this new year, Jesus is ready and willing to accept any of us into his new life, his new family of humans. Jesus died so that we can cross death safely, knowing Jesus has already beaten it, and that new life we get, this new life, that future hope, we know that life can beat death. Death couldn't hold it. Death couldn't defeat his life. So this year, let's join in church, where we're a part of God's own family. Here in church, Jesus freely shares his life, his Father, his Spirit, his authority, and his holiness with us, his body. So rather than trying to make a new us and failing, let's take a hold of this new life in Jesus and be changed by him. So, to God be ascribed all the honour, all the glory, all the power, all the holiness, and all the life, now and forever. Amen.